My sophomore year of college, there were two terrifying abduction cases. You can tell where I went to school, I'm hoping. Penn State, often spoken of for football and basketball, and of course, creamery ice cream, Peachy Paterno showing right there, was galvanized around two abductions that particular spring. Both of them were young women, both involved in Greek life, real active up at Penn State, both of them surrounded with love and with care, both, quite frankly, brought that chilling emotion of fear and kept college co-eds a little closer as they traveled from dorm to dorm and all the places that you go from night to night. What distinguished these two cases is one young woman was white and one young woman was black. The one who was white was publicized. Everyone knew the name and the picture of the one who was missing. We received emails and warnings. The young woman who was black was never publicized. There were whispers of this active young woman being missing as well. And the difference was chilling. To many of us, it brought out some inherent racism that needed to be addressed. So there was a group of students gathered in protest about the gross indifference marshaled for these two young women. Peacefully marched outside Old Main, known for many other things other than protests on the lawn. Gathered inside the Hub, that's the student union where you'd go to get French fries and a good conversation between class. We spoke our piece until voices were heard. Presence together. Out of these peaceful sit-ins, thankfully is a decent story, most of it, the Department of African and African American Studies was founded at Penn State. Additional tenured track professors were actually hired within 9 months. It was a wild ride. Requirements for coursework changed in that particular time. Now here's the part of the story that's much more difficult. Both women were ultimately found. Unfortunately, one of whom was found alive and returned to her sorority sisters with joy. Think prodigal son kind of a moment. And one of which was returned with a phone call to her parents of the unfortunate that had occurred. But it was the presence of the gathered body that changed the path forward. It was the intentional presence of college students who didn't know they had it in them to gather together to support a different way forward. You see, friends, our presence with one another matters as much as life and death. I've listened to families say it before. It's not so much what you say when I'm hurting, it's that you showed up and you stayed with me. You sat with me in my time of need, even though you didn't have anything more than a couple of funny anecdotes to offer. You cared enough to keep coming, even when my loved one was no longer cognizant or engaging. You see, presence is an incredible gift that we give one another. This October, we start a series within a series, who might have imagined that, on stewardship. Let me remind you what stewardship means. It's how you use what you've been given. It's how you use your presence. How do you spend your time with others? It's how do you use your witness? How do folks know that Jesus has impacted your life? How is it you use your prayers? Where are the joys and the challenges that your prayers are joining with others? How do you use your gifts, your financial gifts? And you who are blessed, how is it that you are stewarding those blessings to bless others? You see, if we are blessed, then we will bless others. This intentional presence is showing up on purpose. Perhaps it's what we did this morning. I'm hoping you came to church on purpose this morning. I'm hoping perhaps it was because you were committed, you were going to be an usher this morning or teach Sunday school after church. Maybe you came because it's what you do on a Sunday morning. But we also know that we come to find what we've been missing all week long. We come to offer to others the presence we've known in Christ. And somewhere along the way, we end up being ministered to as well. Showing up and spending time with our brothers and sisters here and around the world is hard work. I'd be absolutely remiss to say elsewise. We watch as people are struggling and wish we had an answer to solve each and every one of those troubles. We watch people who seem like they're kind of wandering in the wilderness. We watch folks whose bright smiles seem a little more bitter at times. We watch those who can't find the way forward. And our usual affirmations and prayers seem cliche to them. To be present is a bit like the friends of Job that John read for us. Now read the rest of the book. The friends of Job tire of this intentional presence thing really quickly. But here they start out okay. They sit with their friend. They commiserate. They're present in his time of need. Feeling the pain, not necessarily offering solutions, but intentional presence. It's the kind you and I offer to someone who's separating from a spouse or fighting addiction, who's struggling with the kids, or who's caught up in the fears about how's work going to figure out exactly. It's what we do as we're fixated on the natural disasters that seem like too much all around us. Now, I confess, being present is an awful lot like the messy book of Genesis. Goodness gracious, is that story messy. And John just read us a bit of it today. Jacob and Esau are at it again. When is it they're going to figure this out and get along already? They're still divided. And so much so that mom, Rebecca, sends Jacob away because she doesn't want to lose two sons. Certainly not on the same day. But the messy book of Genesis, my friends, is our mess as well. We notice that there's some messiness in our lives. There's things that don't turn out exactly like we were hoping that they did. There's messiness in even, forgive me, the church, when we don't have exactly the same thoughts or the same beliefs. We notice one another. Go on Facebook or in the newspaper and see how we have differences that define us more sometimes than our similarities. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, faithfully and famously wrote in a sermon called The Catholic Spirit these words: though we cannot think alike, can we love alike? And if your heart is as mine, meaning the love that you have, let's put your hand in mine and will walk together. Yesterday, I was at planting the seeds of ministry over at Hopewell in Downingtown. And the pastor of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection downtown in Kansas City spoke about misfits. Interesting term to describe a founding of a church. 9 misfits, he shared, started that church. 9 people who were completely different in every way, besides they decided to come together and talk about how Jesus changed their lives. Now, they did so with a strip joint on one side and a tattoo parlor on the other. So they invited misfits to come right on in and join them in this founding. Those who had nothing in common, coming together for the sake of the gospel, saying, I've experienced something bigger than myself. I may not be able to describe it exactly, but there seems to be a love that will not let me go. And out of that, find the words and the actions to describe the Jesus who they've met. I think sometimes we feel an awful lot like we have nothing in common with those beyond our circles of influence. On this World Communion Sunday, it can be hard to feel united in the body of Christ. We might feel an awful lot like misfits. What do we have in common with this one or with that one? How can we be united in the body of Christ when our language or our perspectives don't line up? I need to be reminded often, maybe you do too, that unity is never uniformity. You see, Jesus brought together those who were living a religious life and those who were more known by the sins than the gifts. Pharisees and prostitutes, drunk and the dowdy old religious folk who had little in common besides answering a call to follow Jesus. Jesus said, call each other brother and sister, even if you've never met. It's that important to know each other as the body of Christ. The early Christians were known for these unusual practices. One of which, it may resonate with us today, is when someone of the faith died, others would come around and support them. Now, today we'd say, of course they would. This was radical in the Roman culture. You'd share your food and your support with them. The presence was so notable that we have letters between Roman governors who said, how do you handle these Christians who don't seem to be compelled by bread and circus like the rest of the Romans? Early Christians were distinctive by the presence they gave one another, the time they spent together. And still, friends, this is our call as well. It's showing up with a church family member when they need it most. The kind you know really well, and the ones you're not really sure what their name is, but you could describe them to somebody who sits around you if you had to. It's hanging out after worship and saying, hey, I noticed you asked prayer last week for so-and-so. I've been praying this week. How's it going? I want to continue in prayer. It's introducing ourselves across the sanctuary to those whose names we don't actually know, even though they've been here a whole bunch of times, because meeting our brothers and sisters in Christ is only one step towards our presence, intentionally showing each other where Jesus is moving. To show up, to be present, to take a knee, to link an arm, to stand beside, y'all can debate that all you want, to sit in. These actions of intentional presence are gifts, and they're exactly who we're called to be as the body of Christ. Jesus went so far as to say the community matters so much that if just two or three of you gather, I'm right there in the midst. If just two or three of you agree, that's a big challenge to begin with. If just two or three of you agree, God's Spirit will move among you. So as we begin this stewardship season, we renew our vows that we do every time someone joins the church or there's a baptism, to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. You and I, we show up on purpose. So here's my challenge to you today. Meet someone new. Someone you've not met before. For some of you, this is going to be much easier than others. But take the challenge that your presence matters in their life, and their presence matters in your life. This is the life to which Jesus has called us, showing up and loving one another in the midst of our differences and for Jesus' sake. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.